Did you know that tomorrow is United Nations Social Justice, or United Nations World Day of Social Justice? Who knew that? It sort of slips past, doesn't it? You don't notice it. These things that are devised somewhere else. But I was reading about it, and I happened in my... You know how you read one thing and it takes you somewhere else, and that takes you somewhere else, and then you end up reading the International Labour Office 2015 conference statement on the issues of justice. And what they said was that you cannot talk about justice in labour unless you talk about it as part of an integrated approach across the world. And so jobs are related to sustainability. What's the point of creating jobs now that are only going to be there for a short time and are actually going to take away from people's capacity to do things in the future? What's the point of sustainability if in that sustainability you're not helping create a society that makes the value of living worthwhile? You immediately think about some tremendous constructions overseas where the life of the workers has been utter misery. And they've said, oh, it's providing jobs. Yeah, but at what cost? And you can't talk about society unless you talk about justice. And if you're talking about justice, then you have to think about food, because food is a very big part of justice. The way food is made, the way people are paid, the way things happen down the distribution line, what happens to the creatures when whole swathes of forest are taken over by some cash crop or something. Where's justice for the whole world? And all that is related to the environment, and the environment is related to the economy. And one of the big problems that faces the world, according to the 2015 conference of the International Labour Office, is that we're working off an economic model that is no longer fit for purpose. Everything is integrated, and at the heart of it sits an economic model that is based in the way it was constructed 200 years ago, back in the 1800s. And they said it was urgent. And one of the things that came out of their statement was how big a mess when the world is working with an economic model that belongs 200 years ago. In 1800, when there was something like 980 million people on the entire face of the planet, an economic system that worked on growth was a very logical thing. An economic system that drives where everyone goes based on perpetual growth in a world that has 7.5 billion people and growing by 100 million every year is not such a logical step and can lead us into an abyss, can lead us into a precipice that will be disastrous for every creature on this planet. But because of the model and where eyes are fixed now, the goals are very, very dangerous. This is the thinking which is going on in the United Nations. This is the thinking that's going on in the European Economic Community, that's going on around the world in the think tanks. We have to think differently because the model we were using is outmoded and is actually destructive for where we are in the world now. Our goals are terribly, terribly important. I was chatting to Mike Wilson about this over a cup of coffee on Friday morning about goals, and Mike sat there in his very learned way and he said, I recall, I can't really do Mike, so I'll just be Bruce. He said, I recall, he said, being in an office and someone came down to talk to someone who was sitting at his desk, and he picked up a pencil off this chap's desk, and the chap responded by grabbing a rather heavy ruler and whacking him as hard as he could across his knuckles. He said it was real pain. and the cry of pain was very, very real. And the person who'd been hit had two options, really. One was to walk off in pain and utter humiliation. He said, and Mike's words were, the other option was to turn around and sock him in the face. And Mike reflected, if your aim is to protect your desk from people picking up the pencils, that was a very effective thing to do. If your aim and your goal is to build relationships within the workplace, it is an absolutely disastrous thing to do. I thank Mike for his wisdom. As you move around your world, as you interact with your families, your workplace, the activities that you do, your work here within the church, what is it that you are wanting to escalate and elevate? What is the goal of your being? Because the goal is terribly, terribly important. St. Paul sees Jesus as the absolute focus. That's where he wants to see growth. He sees Jesus as the bedrock and the foundation of all things. And he sees the living Christ as the focus, as the means by which our focus is maintained. So Christ is the focus. The living Christ is the means by which that focus is maintained. And he's expressing in the reading that David brought us his utter exasperation with people who've taken their eyes off Christ and they focused on someone or other church leader around them. As though that's the focus, as though that's the goal. He's better than he is. I'll follow him, he's better than him. Whoa! St. Paul, for no one can lay any foundation than the one that has been laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. And he calls them back from the abyss that they are threatening to stray into. Now, John read to us from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And in this Sermon on the Mount, Christ's will is at one with God's will. And Christ has announced that the great promise that evil has been overcome by good, that evil has been overcome by God. Let me put it more theologically accurately. So every time evil is encountered, it's met by a person following Christ who has another goal, another focus. And their focus is not the evil that is meeting them. Their focus is the victory that has already been won. And they are on the winning side and they know it. Jesus is saying to them, don't you sing to their tune. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth might have been a very nice maxim to stop the escalation of warfare and fighting between people. And it was. If Chris stamps on my foot, I'm only allowed to stamp on his foot. I'm not allowed to punch him in the face. It stopped the escalation. But that's because the focus then is on what is meeting you. But it is still engaging at the level of the protagonist. And what Jesus confronts his hearers with is a totally different possibility. He is saying to them, you engage at the level that God is engaging with you. That's the focus. That's the objective. That is what we want to escalate. And what does God engage with us with? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. We are saved by grace through faith. It's not something you can earn. It just is because of God's love and grace to you. God loves the world so much, he sent his only son. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When Jesus urges people to respond at a different level, he has another focus to what he's doing than that which is coming to meet them. The promise that God has defeated evil. The victory has been won, and we know it. And because we know it, and because we're on that team, the team that is already, we know what the end result of this game is. Therefore, we can live by faith that this is so. It's happened to me. It's happened to you by grace. Not something you've earned. Not something reciprocal. Not eye for eye and tooth for tooth. It's given to you. It's given to me. Thank God. It's ours. Praise God. And so we meet evil and we respond at another level. That's Jesus' call to his hearers. You've heard me say it time and again. Christ's teachings are not a good moral code. They are a response of faith to the God who has already lived out his promise and now lives it out in you and me who have received that grace, that forgiveness, that renewal, that resurrection. God has met me with all I am and has responded with grace. God has met you with all you are and has responded with grace. And now, as part of the kingdom of God, in faith that God has already triumphed, Jesus calls you and me to live as heirs of that kingdom. I began with a question confronting growth economics in a full world. An economic system trying to respond to today with a model that was created in another place and time, in other circumstances, and how absolutely illogical and how utterly incompetent that model is to respond to the needs of now. Do we live by the new reality? In our case, the foundation for all things that God has given to us in Christ, or do we live by an outmoded model that is now obsolete? Jesus says, "It was said, but I say to you." We talked about the man with a pencil on his desk. And what was the focus of his actions? What is it, you who live as heirs of God's kingdom, are wanting to achieve? What is the focus in Christ and grace? What is it we wish to escalate, elevate, and grow? Do you believe that God has overcome evil? And act accordingly with confidence because you know that you're already on the side that has already won. I started the service with a quote. I started the address with a quote. If I love the world as it is, I am already changing it. A first fragment of the world has been changed, and that is my own heart. And through this first fragment, the light of God, his goodness and his love penetrate into the midst of anger and sorrow and darkness.